Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Listen as those words are sung. Reading once again from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Let's give thanks for these words. Give thanks for God's love to this world, the world of sinners, of which you and I are a part. That giving his Son, we would not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, thy Son, he who is on thy right hand, he who, when he had finished his work here on earth, sat down on that right hand, expecting till his enemies would be made his footstool. And as Isaiah could speak not only of his suffering and of our rejection of him, but also, Father, that he would be satisfied, that he would see the travail of his soul, that he will accomplish what thou, Father, and him planned before the foundation of the world. We give thanks that there is not only a gospel, the good news, but we give thanks that, as Paul could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is thy power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we pray, Father, that we might have this message clear from thy word, that we might hear it, that we might believe it, and we might know the power of it that is so much needed in the church to revive it, in our nation, in our homes, in the world, to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men, as the angels did say and as we sang. And we pray, Father, that once again there might be peace on earth, goodwill toward men, in our homes, in our churches, in our nation, and throughout the world. We pray, Father, the swords might be beaten into plowshares, the spears into pruning hooks, that we might have such a blessing through the gospel once more. Help us to see the need of it for those of us who do believe it. We pray that thou would teach us to pray that we might have our needs met, that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin, that it will also enable us to make us willing to turn from sin and turn to thee from idols. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on thy word wherever it is heard, wherever it is remembered. Pray especially for those that have turned away from it, that thou would bring it to their remembrance, young and old, especially the young. We pray, Father, for our homes. Pray that broken homes might be healed and the children in those homes might be taught and kept by thee. We pray for the needy and homelessness and hunger. We pray for those in sickness and injury. Pray that thou would give them faith to look to thee for healing, and pray that through faith in Christ they might experience that blessing. And for those that will not be given the blessing of healing, that they might have the grace to submit and to bear under it and to learn through it the brevity of life, the certainty of death, the need to prepare for it. And they might also learn through these chastenings whatever is needed in repentance, in faith, in obedience. We ask, Father, for thy blessing on those that do not believe this message at all and hate it and would counter it, would not acknowledge Christ as thy Son, would not acknowledge that he went to the cross. We pray that thou would make the truth known to all thy enemies, the enemies of the truth. We know it can be done, and we think of Paul, the enemy, breathing out slaughter and threatenings, how he became as a little child. And we pray for that again today for ourselves and for others in Christ's name. Amen. Looking at this message of Christ once again, a perfect message. not always translated perfectly, but as Christ gave it, it was perfect. And as it was in the original language, it was also God's inspired word, not the word of man, but holy men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit to write these things as we have them. We need to acknowledge that, even to the point where, as God said, to this man will I look, to him who is poor and of a contrite heart and trembleth at my word. In this first part, we say, well, there's really nothing to tremble. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That should make us to hear the good news and be thankful for it. But we need to tremble lest we come short of believing it rightly to the glory of God in our own way of being humbled by it, that we are perishing sinners. Some will believe that Christ came but never believe, as we mentioned last week, that they are in the perishing way. Some will say, well, I've always loved the Lord. And as Paul could say of his own people, they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness, Christ being the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Yes, it is believing it rightly, believing it to our own condemnation, believing it to God's glory, the glory of his grace, as well as to recognize that he so loved the world of sinners, the world that became his enemy, the world that, as we read from the words of Christ, everyone that does evil hates the light. Christ is the light of the world. We read earlier in this letter of John, this epistle of John, that light was there, but the darkness comprehended it not. Here we read even stronger language. They hated the light. When we think of the song that was sung, sweetest that ever was heard, the songwriter is right. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. And God sadly has to describe us in hearing it. Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected of men. That only takes place when we hear it, when we come to know that God has sent his Son. He is despised and rejected. What did happen those 1900 and some years ago proves it. They said, away with him, crucify him. When they were given a choice of a very wicked man to be set free by Pilate, Barabbas, with insurrection and murder, they said, give us Barabbas, crucify the Lord Jesus. Saul despised the light. Yes, he was acquainted with grief, the grief of being rejected by men, and then going to the cross to be rejected of God in our stead. This message here should be accepted by everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. A message that is, as Christ said, recorded by Mark, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's many in our area, many in every part of the world will say, we don't want anything to do with that. We have our own God, or we have a God that everybody worships, but not through Christ, not alone by the gospel, this good news. When Christ says, preach this gospel to every creature, then he gives what are the results of it both ways. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from perishing, as Christ spoke of it. But he that believeth not shall be damned. We read, Christ said to Nicodemus and to us, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But if we don't believe that, there's no other remedy. There's no other way. We will be damned. We're already in a place of having chosen damnation rather than salvation, rather than God's way of obedience and under the law. We reject both. We do not give heed to his law. We're all guilty. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And then when God comes with a way out, a remedy, the gospel for lawbreakers, that he sent his son to die in our stead, we reject that, everyone. Some say, oh, I chose him. Well, do we choose the whole of Christ? I've had people say, well, I believe every word that he said. I believe every part of the Gospel of John, for example. But how many believe this part from John chapter 6, verse 37, in that sixth chapter? Listen to it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All the Father giveth me shall come to me. Christ will not be defeated. God gives those to Christ that will come. The only way I'm right is that God, before the foundation of the world, planned to give me Christ and planned to give me to Christ, both ways. We must receive him. We must be given to him to die in our stead. That is God's grace. That is salvation by grace alone, not our works. We can read of that in the first part. We've read it before, John chapter 1, where John writes these words. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There are those, again, who will say, I did that. I believed on him. Therefore, God gave me power to become his child. But the next verse explains it. Why that took place, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the last words of what Christ said to Nicodemus are agreeable with that. Verse 21 of John chapter 3. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. And not only wrought in God, but wrought as well by God, particularly by God's plan and by the Holy Spirit's work. That's why Paul could say to the church at Thessalonica, knowing your election, knowing that God had chosen you. How did he know it? He said, we came not in word only, but in power, with the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. The word was accompanied with the Holy Spirit, power, so that those people under that power were given to Christ. And Christ speaks of that not only of the apostles just before he died, his prayer recorded in John chapter 17. He says, as thou hast given him power, speaking of himself, the Son, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's the word of Christ. That is to be believed. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't just believe what you want to believe. You must believe what he said. He must be to you a prophet, as well as a priest, and as a king. And the first part of this message to Nicodemus, we could probably say that our Jesus was a prophet. He was telling Nicodemus what he had to have by the work of the Spirit, had to be born again. He then tells him of himself as his priest. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He, the Lord Jesus, was given to this sinful world. Nicodemus, you and I, if we recognize it, if we believed it, if we become God's children, and if not, that is God's way for you to believe. that God loved you as a sinner and gave his son in your stead to die, to shed his blood for your sin. That's the only way you can be right with God. That's the only way you can have eternal life, not by your works, not by any creed or anything else other than the message of the gospel, which, as we read from the pen of Mark, preached the gospel to every creature. Paul gives further explanation of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. He said to those people, after they had become a church, he said, I declared unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. He tells them he preached it. He tells them that they must remember it, and we must know that every day. The story of Jesus, I need it today as much as I needed it 60 years ago when I first came to believe it. Then he continues, not only in memory, but unless you believed in vain, unless you came short. I did that first, 10 years before I was saved. I could be called the shallow ground hearer. I believed it, but not in true repentance, not knowing my sin as it really was. And how terrible it is if we only know part of our sin and only acknowledge it and even repent of it and keep on in our sin and doctrine or life or both, and then think that we believe in Christ, not really believing his word. Everyone that does evil hates the light. I didn't believe that. I didn't know that. But I did. I hated it as much as those who crucified Christ standing there before the cross and standing there before Pilate. I would have done the same if I had been there. And that's what we read a little bit of from Isaiah. Listen to it again. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. And then listen to the last part of Isaiah 53, verse 2. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Beauty is there, but not the kind we desire. We are more like Psalm 50, where God says, you thought I was altogether such a one as yourself. We think we are beautiful. We've done this. We've done that. Yes, we've done a lot of things, but every one of them is sin. Every one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And that isn't just in regard to the law. There is none that seeketh God. Psalm 14, Psalm 53. Paul repeats it in Romans chapter 3. And the Lord Jesus is saying plainly to Nicodemus and to us, men love darkness rather than light. That's the sad part of us. God so loved the world that he gave his son. God did what was needed. But if left to ourselves, we would refuse it. We would go on loving darkness. We would want our sins to be hidden rather than to be confessed and forgiven. Have you learned that? Has God come to you with his law in such plainness and such force that you have learned that you did not love God? That you did not love your neighbor as yourself? The first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And then the Lord Jesus said, the second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do we see that in our so-called Christian nation? Lovers of self. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Terrible. Do we know it? So terrible, we're a nation of murderers, murdering between 2,000 and 3,000 babies every day. And then we talk about the lesser things and get excited about that. We talk about children being separated from immigrants. What about, as one woman said, I saw the doctor putting my baby in a plastic bag. And I saw him throw that bag in the garbage. Separate, probably forever, unless that woman repents. And then they can be together in eternity. But most don't repent. They just want it done. Sadly, the rest of the nation wants it done. How many of you have not voted for murderers? Everyone in a certain party has a platform that we want the woman to have a right to kill her unborn right up to the time of the birth. And after that, partial birth abortion. One of our past candidates for president said, my husband vetoed that, and that was right. When the Congress passed a law against killing the unborn after they were partially born, murdering them right by their mother's womb. What could be worse? How blind are we as a nation? What are we going to vote for? More murderers? We have a woman in our county that got someone else to kill her husband. She didn't do it. Someone else did it. But she's in prison for life because of it. She didn't literally kill the man, but she did things to have him killed. And that's what people are doing in government today, making laws so that babies will be killed. And if you vote for it, you are as guilty as that woman. You deserve life imprisonment without parole. And you will have life in hell if you don't repent. You're a murderer if you agree to it. And I must shout it from the housetop, like God said to Isaiah, show my people their transgression and Israel their sin. And it's a sin that's going to come down upon us if we don't repent. We need the church to repent and then to be a salt and a light of the nation. So we will stop our murdering. And it begins with refusing the gospel of Christ, being like he said, everyone that does evil hates the light. Hatred to the point of murdering rather than submitting, repenting, believing, and being saved from our awful sins and the hell to follow. Only through Christ is there forgiveness and heaven after death. Think of the song again. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love, pay the ransom for me. Do you know that? God's love, Christ's love, paid the ransom.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.